Well, folks, I've already somewhat introduced Brother Randy Waters, elder of the Statesboro Primitive Baptist Church. And you know, we just sang a wonderful hymn, "Speak to Me, O Lord." And that's what we desire to hear. Hear the Lord's word. And we pray that the Lord has blessed Brother Randy with a heavy burden to bring the word to us that we need to hear as his people. And that's what anybody that stands in this pulpit is tasked to do, to bring God's word and not our own. And we pray this for his glory, but for the benefit of all of his children that are here this day, so that we will take what we hear and apply it to our lives. Hold Brother Randy up in prayer. I'm so thankful for the time that we had, Todd, Susan, and myself, and Sister Penny, Brother Randy. We already feel revived from the wonderful fellowship that we shared. And I pray that same spirit of revival will now wash over all of us as we turn the services over to Brother Randy to conduct in any manner that the Holy Spirit may lead him. Brother Randy, there is no time limit, sir. You speak as the Lord directs you, and then afterward we'll enjoy our worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate you being here today. It's an honor for me and Penny to be here at the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church. First time I've ever had the opportunity to come to church here and see this beautiful sanctuary, and to appreciate men and women like you that keep the house of the Lord so faithfully. And I really mean that, because I know it's not easy. I know that some of you live in other places. It's not as easy for you all to come to church as it is for some folks. And I've always just felt like that was a blessing that God's people need to be reminded of, that they are so faithful to God and to his kingdom, to come sit together in heavenly places for this time together. Thank you for praying for me. I have had a wonderful time already over at the bread and breakfast that Susan and Todd are providing, and Brother Wade and Sister Angela. And it's been a time of sitting around the table talking about experiences of life. And you can't talk about life without talking about God. And so that's what brings revival. And so I pray the Lord will bless this meeting and use me in a way to glorify him. I appreciate the prayers of the brethren long ago. The songs were so beautiful. Thank you, Sister Susan, for your special, and for the play, and all that you do here. And the prayers that we had in the room a while ago. And I do pray the Lord will pep us up and strengthen. You know, revival is strengthening, reawakening, a reawareness. And I believe that we're seeing revival in our nation today, don't you?
Yeah.
And you know why that's about. You know that a man that was bold enough to stand before people and tell them about Jesus Christ and about what God says about how to live in a world that has got it all turned upside down. And that man was killed for doing that. He was murdered. And yet, what happens in the Christian faith when persecution comes is the church grows. And so we've seen a great outreach of people, even the leaders of our nation. You have seen all this, that have stood before thousands of people and said, I just want you to know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know what his word says. And it's just been amazing, has it not, that we have seen that and feel that. And I think God is doing a wonderful thing to that. I've got to tell you, just in bringing what my simple message will be, and I pray it's from God, is a revival is about a reawakening of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for love in general. Just like sitting around the table last night. I mean, we're talking about people we love. Love is power. And we are living in a world that we're so distracted. So many things pull us. And our love has waxed cold in some areas. And you know, I thought about this, and maybe I want to say, and you're going to wonder where will I get this from when we go to our text. But I guess my first point I want to try to make tonight in this message is when I talk about love and what that means to the Bible, is that the grief of love. You've got to have your heart broken to really understand what love is about. You know, it's been said that grief is the price you pay for love, okay? And so the fact that Jesus Christ died for us on the sin, up on the cross, for our sins, should grieve us. And I'll tell you something else that should grieve us, that grieves me. The very fact that we need revival ought to grieve our hearts. It really should. I mean, why in the world have we gotten away from such a wonderful treasure of a Savior that never changes, that has always loved us unconditionally, and we just seem to just let any little thing just kind of uproot us, and you know, if the weather's not right or something happens, we kind of get discouraged. And I know we're all human, but I'm going to tell you, we have to realize that in Christ Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And I'll tell you, you can make this life on earth, you can make hell on earth out of it, or you can make heaven on earth out of it. And I'm talking about living in this life. I'm not talking about eternity, but I'm talking about in this life, to be able to live revived should be our attestation every day that God will be glorified, because He always gives us something to look forward to. There's nothing boring about God. And it doesn't matter if there's five people gathered in Jesus' name or 5,000. It ought to be the most exciting moment of our life that we can rejoice in Him and bless Him in that way. But the grief of love and understanding that when we come to that part of life, when our hearts are broken, and then we realize the healing, you got to understand, it's kind of like you don't know how feeling good really is good until you've felt bad. You don't know what being healthy is about until you've been sick, okay? And that's a lot like revival is, I think, and may the Lord bless it. I want to go to a part of Scripture this evening, or this morning, God, watch out for me, that is very familiar. And I think sometimes it's the most familiar things that we take for granted. And I think love is one of those. And what I want to try to do this morning and this afternoon is I want to go to a sermon that the Lord gives us in one verse, and then He uses five verses to explain that sermon. And I want to try to ask God to help me, use me for His message to us this morning. This message from God in the sermon is the 23rd Psalm. I know this is a place you love and you probably know by heart. You probably have memorized. But what's important is that we know the shepherd is more important than you know in the psalm. Okay? Now, what I'm going to say is this, and this is a psalm that is about how you think. It's a pattern of thinking. And I want to say this, I said this to speakers the other day, you take the 23rd Psalm, and I challenge you, if you read this Psalm 5 times a day, for say a week, and you read it when you get up in the morning, after you have breakfast, before lunch, in the afternoon, and before you go to bed. Don't read it 5 times all at once. Kind of do it through the day. It will change your life. Now we sung about the power of the cross and the power of grief of love. But I'm going to tell you what, that comes in the Word of God. That is the Holy Spirit. It will change your life, because as a man thinketh, so is he. And the thing about the most important thing about us is what we think about God. And we need to think more about God. And in this song, it's about this, these words, the first verse, I think are some of the most profound words in all of Scripture. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that is a blessing. That is a manifestation. That is a profound statement. What are you worried about? Don't tell me things don't bother. You know, you don't have to act like that you're bulletproof and then everything hunky dory. Well, one of the greatest lies people tell is when you ask them how they're doing, they say, I'm just fine. And the hearts are breaking. They are so much. I'm talking about the breach of love in revelation, relates to this song. There are people that have secret sorrows that nobody knows about but God in them. There is. But God knows. And it may be that those sorrows are something we have to tote around all this life. But I'm going to tell you what. When you understand that the Word of God, and that God knows about it, and that Jesus Christ is your shepherd, He will get you through it. Now, this song is, as you know, it's a journey. It's just like life, okay? I mean, it is green pastures. It is paths of righteousness. It's some still waters. There's some valleys and shadows of death. There's some mountains of tabletop experiences where God prepares us for our enemies and our cup just runs over. This song begins with God, with the Lord, and ends with eternity. It's forever. And I just pray the Lord will bless us as we see these types together, this psalm, this 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. It will change your life. I have tried this. And it will, I tell you what it does, it keeps you from sin. You know, well, you can have these thoughts in your mind coming, you know, wrong thoughts. And you know, the thing that bothers me, Brother Wade said, called Randy Waters a godly man. Man, that bothers me. Because I know, Brother Wade, I'm not that godly. I feel like I'm a sinful man. But I'm going to tell you, what is so paradoxical about the Christian faith, when you give your life to Jesus, He will give your life back to you. Now, here's what is hard to deal with. Here's why we need revival, and we ought not. Because I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that the more I try to be holy, the more I see my sins. You see? And so, I don't understand it. It kind of reminds me of years ago, my wife, Penny, never asked me to mop and help her in the house, cleaning the house. I just decided to do it. And what happened when I started doing it was, I started taking my boots off at the door. I hadn't been doing that before. See, when I'm doing the cleaning of the floors, I kind of have a bigger responsibility. And I'm going to tell you, when you have your mindset on God, and you get in His Word, see, this Word will cleanse you. That's what Jesus said about the church. He said, the church, that is His bride, and said, I'm going to cleanse her, which just has no spot or wrinkle at all. And that's what the Word of God does. David says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And he answered that. He said, by taking heed according to thy word. Now, none of us like authority. I know that. That's our human nature. But I just say, if you take this on, I don't want you to say, well, you know, that little preacher over there said to do it. I'm not going to do it. I mean, you know, I mean, I'd be saying what? But just let God say, God's given us this sermon. Here's the title of the sermon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you go in life with that, and you wake up every day thinking that, it will change the way you see that. It'll make you get along with people better. I guarantee you. It'll make your work, it'll change life. That's how it is, because you see, it's not about us, it's about God. And so, what are we worried about? This psalm takes care of the past, the present, and the future. And so here we are. And I want you to, my first point I want to try to make is I want you to look at the position of this psalm. And position is a big deal with revival and with God. See, God does everything in order. I know Stephen's involved in real estate, but location is important in real estate. And I know it is. Location is important in your life with God. Where are you right now with God? See, God is your shepherd. Now, we are sheep. Now, that's what this is. The sheep is God's people. The shepherd is Jesus. Jesus personifies this psalm in John chapter 10, as you know. He says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Okay, and they follow me. Now, I went over, a friend of mine, Pete Wall, lives in Scrivener County, Georgia. He pastors a Baptist church, or did, he speaks now in a lot of churches. He has a flock of sheep. Several years ago, I studied this psalm at Statesboro, and so I called Pete and I said, Pete, I want to come over and go with you, just be with your sheep and just learn some things. I told him what I was studying, so I did, and I want to tell you what happened. I mean, he had 40, 50 sheep out there. And Pete could say, sheep, 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 and sheep come running. When I said that, they looked at me like, what are you? What are you? They ignored me. I'm serious. I saw this at home. Now, they didn't give a rip what I was saying. But they knew their shepherd, okay? When a dog barked, those sheep didn't look at the dog. You know who they looked at? They looked at Pete. They looked at the shepherd. I was reading a true story about a shepherd out west who went out and lived with the sheep. And that's what shepherds do. And that's what David did. And David was a shepherd. And so many of the patriarchs of the Bible were shepherds, as you know. And shepherds were not the most popular people. They weren't. They were the first ones that saw the birth of Jesus Christ. Shepherds, okay? Least like. And, you know, when I think about your position, you might say, well, who am I? I'm going to tell you what, you are the person that God will use. And you don't understand. You say, well, this church, we're right here in the middle of the land. I mean, this is a location that God has given you. And you understand that it's not about how big you are. It's not about how much you know, it's how much you care. You see, that's what love is about. But the position is important. Getting his arm. You know why it's important? Because that's where God gets the glory. You understand, don't you, that positionally, if you say, the Lord is my shepherd in your heart this morning, you're really saying that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just as well say, I believe Jesus is my Savior. And it's the same thing as saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, that's the same thing. When you say that, you are in position, you have been justified freely by God's grace. What that means is you are perfectly righteous in God's eyes. I want you to understand that, because this is hard human enough to get to. What I want to say to you is that God loves you just as much as he does Jesus Christ. You get that? It don't sound right, does it? But it's true. You know why it's true? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not because we repent, not because we confess our sins, because Jesus died for our sins. And he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He presented us to God because God gave us to him before the foundation of the world. See, you were saved before the foundation of the world. God knew you before the foundation of the world. And in time that he gave his only begotten son, as God ordained that upon this earth, prophesied that, brought it to pass, that he died on the cross at the appointed time, then you and I became declared righteous, according to Romans 3, because Jesus Christ became a propitiation for us. What that means is God's wrath was appeased. But see, God hates sin. God hates sin. Now, I'm not talking about a revival. You don't see love, and that's kind of my foundational in Psalm 23. I don't see the word love, but love is the theme of this psalm. See, you go to the book of Esther, you won't find God mentioned in that book. But if you want a book that profoundly manifests God, you read Esther. You'll see that God works on hand. God works through people. God is working through you, okay? And you take that position seriously because you have been declared righteous. Don't have some pity party because some regrets you may have, or because somebody looked at you the wrong way, or because you didn't get your love. You go ahead and serve God. David wrote this song. David was a sinner. David had committed adultery. He had committed a murder. And he was freely forgiven of that. And he meant something to David. David was here to say out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's what our world is trying to say today. And that's what it's time for us to say and to believe. The Lord is my shepherd. That means I don't have to worry about the future. I don't have to lay there awake at night wondering what's going to happen or what I've done or whatever. I have a shepherd. And this shepherd has given me green pastures and still waters. And I know I have to go through some hard times, some shadows out there. But that's something I'm going through because he's with me. A shepherd is faithful. We sung, didn't we? Great is thy faithfulness. You know, if we could just realize the presence of God, to practice the presence of God is the very position we need to be in. Because here's what God does. See, God takes little things and makes big deals out of them. Okay? See, because he's more Lord. You take, for example, Gideon. You remember Gideon's army? You know, God's going to get rid of the Midianites, and so he gets 32,000 people. God says, that's too many. You know the story gets down all the way to about 300 men. Well, I mean, how's that going to be? Well, why did God do that? God did that because that would bring more glory. If it had been 32,000 men, it would have been, that's the army. No, it's God. You know what's going to make America, we hear that, what makes America great again? America won't be great again until God's great again. See, that's what's happened. God's becoming great again. See, that's revival. God's becoming, understanding the relationship, the position of God. See, when you get God right, everything else can be right. That's what Jesus says, Sermon on the Mount says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our righteousness, but God's. You seek his righteousness. You get him right, and that's how you get him right. That's what these paths of righteousness are for. God gives them to us. But you seek him and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. See, we're worried about so many things. You know, we've got to have a look. We've got to have this, that, and that. But what we've got to have is God. See, God is enough. Okay? And so when we get God right, everything else is right. But I'm willing to say this, and I think you all believe this. If you don't have God in whatever you're doing and whoever you are, it's not going to matter much. It might be all right for a little while. But I'm going to tell you what. I've seen in my life lately. I grew up and still don't do much anymore, but I went to forestry and school. And I tell you what I've seen, and you can notice this. Not long ago, they closed the mill, paper mill down in Savannah, Georgia, and that's the paper mill. It affected my son-in-law, job, all this. But it affected, devastated the forest industry. I've seen the price of trees, for example. Say, these log trucks, you might see one last year, two or three years ago, worth $1,000 just to the landowner. Now it's about $15 or $20. I mean, the value goes down. My point is to love God and Jesus Christ means to understand what a treasure he is. Because his value never goes down. It never goes down. He is a constant shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd protects and leads and guides and heals. He takes care of the sheep in every way. And so we see that in what Jesus Christ does for us. I'm going to have to tell you, this world is like a mine thing. I'm talking about explosive mines. And you know, we got to have somebody get us through it. Christ will. I have dealt with this other folks in my family. And I know none of you do, but you probably know somebody that has. You take drugs, you take methamphetamine, you take a person these days that takes methamphetamine, it's about the same as putting a bullet in your brain. That's what it does. It destroys the brain. I know this up close, real close, too close. But I want you to know that we have a shepherd. And it's not about finding some other way. It's about understanding that our position is that he is our shepherd. And we are his sheep. That makes him responsible. Did you know God is responsible for you? He is. And so to complain, to be discouraged, is really slighting God. Because you see, you are God. You think that God's going to just save you and then just say, well, whatever happens, you know, just... He's not going to do that. No, he is a loving, he's a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And he knows what we need. And he lays it out. So I want you to see the position. See, position is important to understand that we know God is the potter and we're the clay. Sheep are most helpless. They're really helpless creatures. You know, they're prone to wander. You know, a sheep will get out of the pasture. They don't know where they're going. People are saying what? Well, we don't know. You know, we have a problem to wonder. You know what? And I should have studied more for these messages. But you know how I studied for this last week, at least one or two days. I know one morning I was there, and Penny had a doctor's appointment or something, so I was there studying. About to, and my daughter Sarah walked in the house holding my 9-month-old grandson, John Bennett. And she said, Daddy, could you keep John Bennett for a little bit for me? She has a therapy business, and she said, I need to meet with a patient. I said, sure. So I had my little 9-month-old grandson, and I just went out on the porch and I held him. And we talked. Well, I didn't talk. I mean, he can't even walk. You got me? He can't even walk. And I'm saying, he depended on me completely. I mean, he can't even eat without me giving him something. And I put the boy down, and he crawled to a light receptacle. So I had to go grab it and pull him away. I mean, you see what I'm saying? He's getting them things. You don't know what he's doing. And I'm sitting there thinking, I said, yeah, that is what we are, sheep. And you know, God said, Jesus said, as much as we need to be like little children, see, he was dependent on his granddaddy at that moment. And he was dependent because he knew his granddaddy loved him. And his mama wouldn't have left him with me, she didn't think I loved him. And you know why God left you with Christ? Because God knows that Christ loves you. And you know what a blessing it is to understand that. And as I lay there with my grandson, or sat there, and you know what happens? That little boy went to sleep, right on my chest. Do you know that feels for a baby to sleep on your chest? I mean, goodness. I sat there thinking, I was thinking about one time what all I need to be doing. But I said, no, nothing more important than right here. I don't need to get in a Bible commentary. It's right here in my lap, okay? I mean, that little baby. That little baby just stayed. So I sat there, maybe he slept 30, 45 minutes. And you know, when Sarah came, and he finally woke up, and she held him, and he would get on the floor. She put him on the floor. And I walked over there, and that little boy, he held up his arms to his granddaddy. See, that's what love. You know what it did? It revived me. You know what I was thinking? I don't know if you can say this, I don't even know if I know it completely, but you know what? I believe that we can revive God. Now, what I mean by that, I know God doesn't change, and his love is unchanging. Don't get me wrong. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible does say that Jesus stood up. When blind Bartimaeus was pleading, the Bible says Jesus stood still. It affected God how his people respond. God did say that he heard the cry of his people when they were in Egyptian bondage. God heard that. And I wonder, I mean, just like my little grandson, when he held his arms up, maybe just maybe, when we just say, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I think God loves that. It's not that God doesn't love us. He loves us just like we are. Don't get me wrong about that. But I just believe that intensity matters with God. I just believe that with all my heart. And that's what we need in the church. We need the church. You know why the church, I think, loses her power? Because we lose our love, and it wanes. And because we don't love God, what happens? We don't love each other. See, sitting around talking last night with Susan and Todd and Wade and Angela, I love those people more. You know, me and Penny went in the bedroom after we finished, and she said, those are good people. Now, how do you figure that out? You converse with them. You know, how do we figure who we are? We express that faith that God has given us. How do we do that? Worship God. That's what you're doing here today, you see. That's encouraging. And God is, you know, there's a father, the prodigal father, is another example. You know, what happened is his son goes off just like a sheep, and he just says, I don't want what you got for me. And he gets off, you know. And you know the story, you find out that's not what it's up to be. You know, everything that glitters is not gold. Then the only thing for a sheep is the shepherd. That's the only thing that matters. And so then he comes back. How does that affect the father? The Bible says he runs, and that's uncalled for at that time, I understand, for a father of his notoriety to run. But he ran to embrace his son. He never stopped loving his son. He never stopped. He never stopped, even though he was wavering. He loved him even then. And that's how God loves us. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I told him, you got to be careful what you share people with. Think of things that hurt. But I'm going to tell you, that's what grief does. It brings revival. When you get that grief out and you understand that godly sorrow, you still work in repentance. But I have a daughter that has dealt with drugs, and right now God is using so many things. She is in a blessed place, and we talked about that last night, but I told Penny driving up for, you know, my daughter, several years ago, came unbeknownst to us. She got off the bus here in Atlanta, Georgia, and she stayed on the streets here for about 2 years. We didn't hear from her. I mean, she might have walked around here somewhere. You probably got some homeless people, but she was there. Do you think I didn't love her? It gripped my heart. And every now and then I'd get a phone call from her, you know. But I can tell you this. The other day I visited her, and she's in a whole lot different situation. And I'm going to tell you, it's a reviving situation. That, you know, nothing is too hard for God. And I know that God was with her, even in the situations he was in and the sinful life that she was living, that she knew she couldn't live. And she didn't want to live. But that's what sin does. That's what drugs, that's what addictions do, whether they're drugs or things. You know, there's a lot of things people get addicted to. You can get addicted to your dog or a horse or a ball game. And a lot of God's people are scattered all out. You know, they don't know what they want. Their affections. And we need to back up. And we need to get to the simplified edition of God being our shepherd. Not our cell phone. You know, I got out of the truck the other day. And then I went in somewhere and I left my cell phone. I felt lost. I felt completely naked on my. I don't have a cell phone. I mean, you know, that's how we need to put God in that place. I think we make the God out of social media, and people have gotten in our world today. I think we're in as a culture, people are more finicky and they're running scared, and people tell lies just at the drop of a hat. I mean, and I think it's because of the shallowness of social media. I mean, you know, you can text, you can put things on Facebook, and I'm not saying anything necessarily wrong with all that. There's some good parts of it. But as far as our presence with God, I think we get out of it, because I have people, I was talking to the folks the other night, a little project sitting around my house, I called God and said, y'all be over there tomorrow. Well, I never see him. He never comes. Or some guy has dumped some sand down there by my pond, and they're supposed to come spread it, and it's still piled up there. And I texted God and said, well, I'm coming. I mean, they don't say, I just can't do it. You see, but think about the Word of God, what it does for you, and your position in Christ. Is you ought to have, and I ought to have, a boldness and confidence in being a sheep and God being our shepherd. So what happens? See, the Bible tells us that the wicked flee when nobody pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So where do we get righteousness from? We don't have it in ourselves. We get it from God's Word. See, what I'm talking about is increasing your love. I'm talking about increasing your faith. I'm talking about realizing, you know, this song, for example, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everybody knows that. But the question is, do you really believe it? Are you really willing, and do you trust God with everything? Now you let that sink in, because that's what this is about. You got to trust God with everything. You can't say, well, I know I trust God, but I'm supposed to be this, or I'm supposed to be that, or I haven't done this, I haven't done that. No, you can give it to God. All of it. That's what trusting God is about. Did I start loving
you?
Oh, my bad. Me too. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, and what a profound statement to make. This afternoon, I want to try to deal with how He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that doesn't mean that we get everything we want. What it means is that we won't want anything that we need. You hear me? I mean, we're talking about the power of God and the power of His Word, okay? You know how much God has given you. Somebody pray, I think, by the way. Thank you, God, for the desire to be here today. Did anybody that you want to come? Nobody made you come, did they? You come because you love God. You come because God's put that in your heart. Do you know what? That is a miracle. Every day is a miracle. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing happens any day that's not of God. Everything comes through God. I'm talking about the good day, the bad day, and the understood. Now, it takes power of God's Word to want to embrace that. I'm going to tell you what. When Charlie Kirk's wife stood up there and told millions of people that she forgave the shooter that killed her husband. Now, my friend, that's power. That comes from God. She knew her shepherd, you see. I mean, that's what you got to do. You look at the shepherd. I meant a while ago, I might have started that Western shepherd I was telling you about. I read about that the coyotes was howling one night, and he said the story. It was supposed to be a true account. That's what I'm going about, what I read. And so the coyotes were howling and barking, and he said the sheep, they built up a fire. And so the sheep were gathered, and then the writer of the story looks around. He's with this guy because he's doing a documentary on him. And he said, I see all these eyes around. And he says, you know what they were? They were eyes of the sheep from the fire reflected, okay? And what they were doing, looking at the shepherd. Coyotes were barking. They weren't looking at the coyotes, they were looking at the shepherd. See, David said, this same one, what time I will am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And so, you know, the fears we have, we look at that shepherd, and what a profound blessing that is to rejoice in that God gives us. that he is our shepherd. But that's powerful. I had a friend of mine that dealt with alcohol, drug addiction for years. God, power of grace, changed his life. And I met him over New Beginnings in Christ and his recovery. And I was speaking over there once, and he came. And he's a pastor now, this guy. And he said, he told me he was at State Board Church the other day. He said, you know, Brother Randy said, I have some friends. Friends come up the other day and said, his name is Chris Mason. He said, Chris, he said, this guy said, I bet you can't drink liquor anymore, can you? And he said, I told him, oh yeah, I can drink all I want to. And he said, well, you can't go to the bars anymore. And he said, oh yeah, I can go to any bars I want to, as long as I want to. And he said, the guy just looked so shocked. And then said, Chris said, he looked at him and said, looking right, he said, but I don't want to go. I don't want to drink anymore. See, that's the power of God. See, not only can God change water into wine, he can change wine back into water. I mean, that's God. That's the power of God. And that's what this word of God, when I'm talking about to you this morning, if you have to leave here today, whatever you have to do, you take the 23rd Psalm, you take God's word, and you probably do this a lot of other places in the scripture, but you let that resonate in your mind. See, what it does, it gives us the proper awareness of the presence of God in every situation. That's really important when we get in stressful situations, okay? Because the scripture says that he will grant us peace when our mind is stayed on him. See, that's the peace of God. And so the 21st Psalm is a revival song because it's a God song that David has. And I didn't get to it, but I'll leave it. The song position of Psalm, Psalm 22 starts off, why hast thou forsaken me? We've heard that happen from the cross. The 24th Psalm is talking about the extolling or the God on his throne. See, but right in the middle of that, the 23rd Psalm. That is not just an act. It's not. Do you know, and I don't know if it's exactly the verse, but I've been told, this is what I've read, that Psalm 118, verse 8, is pretty close to the middle verse of the Bible. You know what that says? That verse says, and it should mean something. You would think, I mean, that's a position. God didn't put it there just accidentally. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And that a blessing and that a joy. I wish we had more time in the first service. We'll wait. I do get another chance this afternoon to try to clear some of these things up. But anyway, may the Lord bless you. Thank you for the time you've given me so far. And I do pray that God will be glorified in you and I understanding more profoundly the very merit and the very elevation of the stages of life that we have to go through when we start off embracing that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It is not a promise. It is a declaration. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you for this church. I pray that you'll continue to bless Brother Wade and Sister Angela here and all the members and friends that come here. We pray, oh Lord, that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing me to say a few words. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all our needs. Lord, forgive us for ever complaining about how you deliver it. Help us, Lord, have more confidence in you, more boldness, more strength, more joy, more zeal, more willingness, Lord, to be servants, to love you and to love each other more fervently. Lord, help us to live in a way that people will see our lives and glorify you and know what a great shepherd we must have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.